Okay. Good morning. I think the weather has hindered us this morning. This morning we're going to be looking at believing in the birth of our Savior. And so I'd like you to turn. We'll start with Luke chapter 1. We'll start there, and they're going to be in Luke 1 and in Luke 2 and in Matthew and John and Acts and Romans and Hebrews. So you want all the references right now? You want them just one at a time?
One at a time.
Okay. Oh, also Genesis. Okay. Let me see here. Michael Shelton, open us in a word of prayer. Amen. Yeah, I almost thought I was preparing last night to have to preach this morning because we didn't know about Pastor Kenny, if he would start coming down with it, because their kids were sick Friday night into Saturday morning, and that's why they didn't go caroling. That's why they're not here this morning. Melanie will be bringing them back over tonight. They're just trying to give a precaution because different families have been worshiping a porcelain god this week. Yeah, and his name is Ralph. What can I do? That's my humor. All right? And you're broadcasting this too, right? Yes. That's why I love it. Okay? What we're going to see here is the announcement of Jesus' birth is first mentioned. You'll find it in the New Testament. And we're going to look at where we start this morning is Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and it says, in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. I always like that when you think about it, because when you turn around and when an angel was sent to give Daniel information, some about Jesus' birth and about other prophecies, it was Gabriel. So he seems to be the angel that God trusts the most to bring the message to an individual. And I just, you know, maybe that means nothing to you, but he was sent from God. Angels are ministering spirits. I've had somebody ask me earlier in the week, do angels have souls? And I go, no, they have spiritual life. They can have a body, but the angel doesn't have the soul because that's what makes a human being uniquely human. Okay? Sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. I always, when I read that passage, it goes back to my Roman Catholic roots when I would have to say the rosary. Now, it's a funny thing about it, this is not in the message, but you know that rosary beads are used by Muslims and Catholics? Okay, they say different things with it, but I can remember going through this. And when I had to go to the priest for confession because you couldn't take their version of the Lord's table, you couldn't take the Eucharist, you couldn't take their solar disc, okay, you couldn't take communion if you hadn't gone to confession. And you had to go in and you had to say, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned that it's been so many days, months, years since my last confession. And I can still remember the priest saying me, okay, now for your penance, you need to say 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. Okay, so that's the Our Father is the Lord's Prayer, and Hail Mary is Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Okay, and that's where this passage comes from, and that's where they take it from, but they elevate it in the wrong way. Yes, Mary was chosen of God to give birth to the Savior. That's what made her special, that she gave birth to the Savior. Okay, it wasn't that she was better than someone else. We're not preaching or teaching about Mary, but Mary also praised God, her Savior. And you can say, well, we don't know a lot about Catholicism. I'm letting you know, they believe that Mary is the co-mediatrix. See, because Jesus says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, they believe Mary's equal with Jesus. And I can still remember being taught by the nuns and the priests that you go to Mary to reach Jesus, because Jesus could never tell his mother no. He loved her too much. But Jesus was too austere, so you couldn't approach him. And then I get saved, and you go through the Bibles, and you find out he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And there's nothing that makes him where we can't approach him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And when we get our eyes off of Jesus, you know what we lose? We lose our rest. We lose our rest. So he comes from to Galilee, or to the city in Galilee, Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel told her, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And what I love that phrase, you can find it multiple times in the New Testament. You find it in the Old Testament when it speaks about God reaching to man. It says, fear not. Fear not. And I love that because in going to India, when they worship 3,300,000 and some odd gods, they're fearful of them all. And you have to worry about works with them. And I mean, their drawings, they show their gods killing the babies that were offered as sacrifices. Drawings of that. Instead of our God willing to become a baby who was sacrificed for me. Isn't that amazing? Fear not, Mary, for thou art found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. No matter what you face, guess what? It can be overcome because with God, what? Nothing is impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. He tells the angel, Gabriel comes, tells Mary some amazing news that God had chosen her by his grace to have a special baby. The baby would be given to her by God, the Holy Spirit. And she was to call his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. That's what his name means. And Mary didn't understand it, but she still had to have faith to go according to God's word. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, we have another miraculous birth being talked about, and that is with Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah conceives, and Sarah, her name was Sarai, she got called Sarah because her name means laughter. And the angel told her, Is anything too hard for the Lord? In Genesis 18, 14. Anything too hard? See, so you have the announcement of Jesus' birth. In his birth, in his life, his death, and his resurrection, 300 prophecies. 300 prophecies, if you include the second coming. In his birth alone, we just read a bunch of them, there are 48 separate prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus in his birth. I don't know about you, but to me, that's an amazing thing. 48 things, and that the Bible tells us we have a more sure word of prophecy. We are told in the book of Acts, and it says that we knew of Jesus and we can hear of him by many infallible proofs. There's no one who's ever fulfills prophecy that way. Since I have been saved, you know, back in World War II, the different Christians, they thought Hitler was the Antichrist. You know, and then someone else was the Antichrist. And then, you know, in the 70s, someone else, he had to be the Antichrist. And in the 80s, someone had to be the Antichrist. And then in the 2000s, someone else had to be the Antichrist. You know, I can still remember being a Lord Maitreya. That's the name of a New Age guru. And they tried to say he was the Antichrist. Well, they may be types of that, and I believe he's alive in this world today, but we haven't seen him yet. He hasn't been revealed. You know why he hasn't been revealed? Because we haven't been called up yet. I don't believe in a mid-trib rapture. I believe in a pre-trib rapture. And when I say that, I also believe there's three raptures. Just the one I'm concerned with is the one for New Testament believers. But when you have this, you have these prophecies given about Jesus. And you got to remember, when you think it's impossible, is anything too hard for the Lord? For with God, all things are possible. You know what drives us crazy with that saying, though? God's time frame. It's God's time frame. That's what gets us. He's never in a hurry. And we want it yesterday. Yesterday. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're coming back to Luke 2, but turn to Matthew chapter 1. So the announcement that was given to Mary, and it's also was given to Joseph. Joseph is Jesus' stepfather. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, Matthew 1:18, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. They were engaged. She was espoused. She was supposed to be given to him. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I had someone question me, what is a biblical marriage? Okay, now you got to understand, for our government to recognize it, there is a marriage license given. That was not how that worked in the Old Testament economy. A woman would be espoused to a man. They'd have the big party, and when they came together on the wedding night, they became man and wife. And that's how their marriage worked. So she was espoused, and it says that before they had come together. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He wasn't going to embarrass her. He wasn't going to marry her because she was pregnant. And he didn't know about it. And he hadn't heard about it. And the one that was supposed to be his, this young virgin girl, was with child. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. See how that, I want you to understand, Christmas is one of the most fearful times of the years for people. It's one of the most lonely times. Do you realize in this week alone, this past week, leading up to Christmas, I've read of three different shootings. Then you had a Arabic doctor kill 5 people and injure 200 more. But he did it with a vehicle. I wonder if they're going to outlaw and take the vehicles away from everybody. Yeah. Another mass murder. Okay. And he did it, and he drove over in Europe, a Christmas celebration. It was like an open Christmas mall walking on the street there. Five people died. This is an adult Sunday school class. More suicides are committed around Christmas than any other time of the year. Because it's supposed to be a time of joy, but when someone doesn't know the Savior, it becomes a time of discouragement, in loneliness, of depression and despair. Because they do not know the Savior. That's why if you know Christ, keep your eyes on Him. I'm just being honest with you. A believer is capable of doing anything a lost person does if they don't have their hearts and minds stayed on Him. It can happen. We need to look at Him. And I love Psalm 27:10, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. There's someone who wants me, no matter what. No matter what. So we saw where Mary was told, fear not. Now we see where Joseph is told, fear not, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the what? Holy Ghost. And he shall call forth, his name shall be Jesus. We already told you what that name means. He shall save his people from their sins. Now this was all done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive. That's Isaiah 7:14. We'll turn there in a minute. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph discovers that Mary's pregnant, and he's not the father of the baby. According to Jewish law, Joseph could have made an announcement. Mary could have been stoned, killed for being pregnant with a child that was not his. When it says he was a just man, he cared for her before he knew, because he didn't want to bring that out, because he wanted her to live no matter what happened. Here he's got to remember, Joseph was older than Mary. She was a young virgin. He was a little bit older. He was a carpenter. She was espoused to him. She was supposed to be given to him. And because he loved God and he loved that girl, chose to love that girl, he was not going to bring this up and make it a public thing because he was trying to protect her. And then God shows him the truth. You know what? Mary had to believe by faith and then obey, didn't she? You know what happened? Joseph had to believe by faith what God said and then obey. See, his faith was demonstrated by his obedience. Her faith was demonstrated by her obedience. Now, you can be a child of God without the world seeing it. But the world won't know it until they... You know how they see your faith? They see your what? Your obedience unto what God says. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. He had to obey. He did as the angel of the Lord had told him. He had faith and obedience. So there's the announcement. Now turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And this is where Charlie Brown's Christmas comes in. This is a passage. Do you know that Charles Schulz was a born-again believer? Okay. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. As it was, so shall it be. What's the old saying? Two things you can be sure of, death and... That's a biblical truth. That's where that came from. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Caesar Augustus was the Roman emperor, and everyone had to return to their home city to report and pay tax. They must have had some sort of record system, didn't they? How would they know? Now, you would go back home. Do you know what that is? They trusted people because, you know, there was a day and age, believe it or not, not that far ago, that it says a man's word was his. When you take away the integrity of somebody's word, then you have to have a legal system that protects you from the liars. You know what should be true about every believer? Your word is your bond. What you say should be truthful. Here, they had to return. Now, isn't it interesting? From Nazareth to Bethlehem was about a three-day journey. That comes back into play. I remember when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents had left, they were returning back to where was their home from Jerusalem. They had come there to worship, and they still was on a travel, and they'd gone 3 days' journey to be able to, I think it's a day's journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Very close. All right, and so they had a three-day journey. And what does the name Bethlehem stand for? House of bread. House of bread. Look at John chapter 6. The house of bread. When we buy regular store-bought bread, this is just interesting for me. Okay, I don't know, but they put something in it. And whenever I eat, we go out to eat. Judy and I like to go to the Longhorn, and they bring you this loaf of hot bread with butter. And every time I go to a restaurant, and then I like bread, okay? I start sneezing. And for years I looked at Judy and said, it's the air conditioning. It makes my head fill up and I sneeze. And she was, uh-huh. It doesn't make a difference where I am, if there's air conditioning on or not. It just became a joke between us. It's because something in commercial bread affects me that way. Well, Judy's been reading and checking on it, and the Kyles were so kind, they ground, and thank you, they ground the wheat berries. So you have the whole thing. So, you know, all that stuff is stripped out of commercial bread. Because you know that the Bible teaches that bread's good for the heart? Did you know that? Do you know that bread, the old style bread, was very high in vitamin E, which is needed for your ticker? Okay? There was stuff in it that when the Bible tells you, there's a reason for it. And it's very healthy for you. So they ground the wheat berries that Judy bought. She baked bread. And I've been eating it. And guess what I'm not doing? Sneezing and getting my head filled up. So someone turned off the air conditioning. But it's house of bread. John 6. You say, what put you on that segue? It's because I get to do this. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the what? Bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's the bread of life. So we have the announcement, then we have the journey to Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 6, and so it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Every time I read that passage, I think of that Christmas song. No room, just a manger full of hay. I said, no room. The song goes on talking about a stranger in the world. So many times we need to realize what took place with Jesus was to show us that when we are not accepted by everyone around us, we have a Savior who knows that. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come, what? Boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There was no room for them. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, what's that saying again? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You want to get a picture of what that sounds like? You'll never be able to fully get it while we're here, because that's the heavenly choir. But the closest thing you're going to find is if you get to listen to Handel's Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Taken from Scripture. They're hearing perfect voices, perfect tone, perfect presentation, praising who? God the Son. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this what? And they all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. It was predicted. Micah chapter 5. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 5, one of the prophecies. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, out of thee shall come he forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of from old. From what? Everlasting. A prophecy about a birth of someone who's eternal. From everlasting. He was to be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter 7. I know Pastor Kenny had a very good series of messages on Isaiah 9 and verse 6, but Isaiah chapter 7 in verse 14. Again, I'm just giving you just a few of the specific prophecies about his birth. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what they do in many of the so-called new Bibles? They don't say virgin, they say young woman. No, she was a virgin. It's not a miracle for a young woman to get pregnant. It is a miracle for a virgin to become pregnant without being with a man. I was looking at something and I mentioned it to Michael this past week and I couldn't believe it. An insurance company had put out the thing and you had to put in your name, full name, and then your age. No problem for me. But then the next line said, in your sexual orientation assigned at birth. Instead of saying, used to be you'd have the little box, you could check either M or F, right? Male or female? No, it's your sexual orientation you were assigned at birth. You know what? That just helps me to know that Jesus is coming. Amen? Because he's not the author of confusion. So Jesus was born of a virgin, and he was in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. This world is not a friend of Jesus Christ. If you're a friend to him, don't think they're your friend either. Stay there in Luke. In John chapter, 15 and verse 18, it says, if the world hate you, this is Jesus speaking, if the world hate ye, know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hates Jesus and hates the believer. Why? You know what they'll tell you? You think you're something special. They'll say, you think you're special. And I like that, and I go, yeah, you're right. I'm special. Because I've accepted the love God offered to me. You know, you can be special too. If you're willing to accept the love God offers to you. They hate him. I can say, when you ever get mad, hear people and they get mad, do they yell out, George Bush! Barack Obama! Well, they might yell out, what? Donald Trump! They might yell that, okay? You know what they yell out? Jesus Christ. They don't yell out, Obama, damn you. They yell out, God damn you. They want to put a curse on you. But they use that name as a curse because they don't want the effect that it's supposed to have. And they don't understand, we're told in John 3:16, everybody loves that verse, right? Don't you love John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what they don't like? The verses that go beyond that, right? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't need a Savior. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They're already under condemnation. They're already cursed. And that name becomes a curse when it's rejected as a Savior. When you reject God's salvation, the curse becomes preeminent in your life. And that's why they fight against that, why they don't like him, why they don't want him. The manger would be a place where the Lamb of God would be born. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. Do you ever think about this? The manger was the feed trough for the cattle, for the sheep. Have you ever... I could be wrong, but I don't think they spend a lot of time cleaning the feed trough. That's dirty. It's dirty. It's a dirty thing. It's a dirty place. That's where that baby was laid. Isn't it interesting? As a babe, he was laid in a manger. The purest thing this world had ever seen. That holy thing, the Bible says. And a dirty thing. You know where he goes when you receive him? The purest thing that can come into your life goes into a heart just deceitful and dirty. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, who can know it? I, the Lord, try the hearts. He came to cleanse our dirty hearts. He was born in the most unlikely of hearts. You know that? That's why never think. I've watched people witness before. You know, sometimes you'll try to witness to the person who looks nice. But you know, you avoid those goths or the people with the tats or piercings all over their face. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Most unlikely people get saved. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 12. And he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Paul was consenting unto the death of Stephen, one of the first Christian martyrs. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." In other words, you better understand and accept it. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am." Now that's an unlikely conversion, isn't it? He gained fame by going around persecuting the believers and trying to bring them to trial, get them thrown in jail, or get them martyred. That's who Paul was. And Christ saved him. Back in Luke chapter 2, it was witnessed by the shepherds. The shepherds were the first ones to come see Jesus. They raised lambs and later sold them for sacrifice at the temple. Do you realize that? The shepherds would raise the lambs, and because you had to offer, if you had the money, you would offer a lamb. If you didn't, you would offer two turtle doves. Okay? And they'd be sacrificed in the temple. Sacrificed in the temple. Just like our Savior was sacrificed for you and me. They'd come to the realization that the shepherd was going to die for the sheep. You're in Luke. Look at John chapter 10. I love these verses. When I try to teach people when things are going and they don't know where the attack is coming from and they think another person's the problem, that's not the problem. We just got to get our eyes on the real adversary. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you, therefore, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to..." Who are you fighting against? "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." So many things were imagined at this time of year. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's a battle there. You know what we do? We think it's another person. We think it's this or that. And it's not. It's the thief who's only come for one reason, and that's Satan. He's trying to steal from you. The thief has not come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for who? Meh. Meh. You're just as dumb as me. And you're going to bleed out. And when you do that, you do it because you're hungry. You're lost, or you're afraid. That's what we can think about with us. That's when you hear those words. So many times, you get frustrated about things. My Savior, before we were even saved, my God gave me the perfect helpmeet for me. I am passionate. I am compassionate. I am forgiving. I'm also quick-tempered and aggressive. And sometimes I talk a little bit too much. Now, you guys were supposed to laugh at that, right? And she'll look at me and she'll go, James, you're better than that. I've gotten frustrated and go to say something, she'd going, do you think Jesus would like to hear those words from you? Don't you yell at me. I am not yelling at you. I am talking clearly. I'm enunciating my words. She doesn't scream at me. She has a way of quietly just putting me in the right frame of mind. Right frame of mind. I have a Savior who was willing to die for me. But the great thing about it is he rose again on the third day, and he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for me and for you. He became his birth was witnessed by the shepherds. He was going to die for the sheep, and it was for me. If you're here today and you're saved, it was for you. He became flesh to shed his blood as a payment for our sins. That's God's blood. Do you know that? God's blood. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He's talking to the elders in Ephesus. Who hath made you overseers, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God's blood. Amen? God's blood. And almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It had to be shed, and it was shed for you and me. It was demonstrate God's love. I have a reverential trust towards my Heavenly Father. That's the fear I had. I had a fear of God before I got saved, for I knew he loved me that way. But God commendeth his what? Love towards us, in that while we were yet what? Christ died for us. died for us. And because he doesn't want us to go to hell. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. For God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering, not willing that any, who's any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, Matthew chapter 2, and we'll finish up quickly. And all men are liars. For the sake of time, I won't read the passage, but from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, you find again the birth of Jesus. Okay, and you find the prophecy about in verse 6 about Bethlehem. And then in verse 11, or let me see, go down a little bit farther. You had the three magi, the wise men, coming to him. They saw his star. They knew he was supposed to be the ruler of the Jews. They come to worship him. Okay? They came a great distance. You know, sometimes people go out of their way to find the Lord, and you'll find him in the weirdest places. You ever think about that? Where were you when you got saved? I was driving in a car when I got saved and cramped up so bad I couldn't hang on to the steering wheel. Scared my wife half to death. She wasn't saved yet. We were driving separate vehicles, and I was all over the road praying, confessing my sin like a good Catholic, getting to the point where I could ask Jesus to come into my heart and life, be my Lord and Savior. Where were you when you prayed to receive Christ as Savior? Make your calling and election sure, for so doing you will what? Not fall. Not fall. Okay? Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God gives the believer a GPS system so you can find home. You know that? For we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, if ye take heed, is unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. A more sure word of prophecy that sits in your lap. It's called the King James Bible. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but a holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The wise men seek him. They came. That was approximately 2 years after, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In Luke chapter 2. They followed the star that appeared at his birth. And they worshiped in Jesus and they gave him gifts. We won't take the time to read it, but they gave him gold. Gold is something fit for a king. It symbolizes deity. That's why in the temple, they were all the pieces of the in the holy place were overlaid with gold. Frankincense. That was a spice, and it was used and made into an anointing oil that symbolizes devotion to God, and it was used to anoint the priest. Okay? And myrrh. That's something they used to put on the perfume of the dead for the dead body. It pointed to his kingship, his intercession for me, and the cost of it all, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We have a story that the world needs to hear, and it's the truest story ever told. A Savior has come. All God's people said, take a break.